I thought we'd have a look at this lovely passage in Luke chapter 18. It's on page 1052 of our church Bibles. And let me read it again. This is Luke chapter 15, chapter 18 and verse 15. This is God's word. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him, and he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Help us, Lord, to read, to listen, and to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a song written by the North American indie band Arcade Fire a few years ago called City With No Children In. And the chorus just went like this: "I feel like I've been living in a city with no children in it." It was a song about growing up and about disillusion. The album was called The Suburbs, and it was about that growing into adult life and just having a sense that the childlike dream had disappeared and that life was hard and difficult and alienated. And someone said that the title of this song, A City With No Children In, was a kind of metaphor for a city with all the life sucked out of it. A city with all the life sucked out. What would a church be like with no children in it? I mean, there are churches where there are no children. Some of you may have attended and been part of such churches. I mean, we could certainly say it would be quieter, couldn't we? Sometimes being in Eden on a Sunday morning is a little bit like being in a rainforest with the different cries coming from the different sides of the church. It's this sort of wonderful pre-verbal communication going on. It would certainly be quieter. But it would also be like being in a city with the life sucked out of it. And something essential about church life just sadly removed. I want to see a couple of things from this story. First of all, a lesson about children in church. And then secondly, a lesson from the children in church. Attitudes to children in first century culture varied. There were parents who were kind and indulgent, as there are in every kind of a culture. But there were some who thought children should be in their place, and the disciples seemed to have fitted into that category. The parents were wanting to bring the little ones, and Luke says that they were babies, to Jesus, for him to touch them. And there may have been an element of folk religion about that, but there was a sense that an apparently holy man who had some good things to say and was in touch with God, it would be good for him to touch these children and maybe to bless them and pray for them. But the disciples keep them away. They rebuke them. They're rather like the minders or security guards around some kind of celebrity. You've got something more important to do. Children are not Jesus' priority. And sadly, sometimes churches can give that message out. I don't think any church would ever say that, but there are ways of sending out a message that children are not the priority. I remember going to one church where the children were not part of any part of the service. It did seem very strange to us It was a big church in a big city. And for this service, at least, families would arrive with their children, and the children would be taken to what I take it was a very good set of children's programs operating in another part of the building. And the main service was an entirely adult occasion. And there wasn't the rainforest going on as we have sometimes, but it did seem oddly dead, to be honest, though maybe there was a good reason for choosing that. And maybe those parents and children didn't pick up a message from that arrangement that the children weren't important, but sometimes churches can give that impression. The disciples, I'm sure, thought they were doing the right thing, that Jesus wouldn't be interested in babies. And his response is so striking and so beautiful and has echoed down the ages. Jesus rebukes them. And he calls the children. They were babies, so presumably it was actually the parents he was calling. But it's lovely the way Luke recalls it. He calls the children to him. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Jesus calls children to himself. The parents had to bring them, but it was the children he was addressing. His voice addressed to their children. And they were babies too. And he explains it. Presumably they're coming towards him now. And he says, "Let the little children," these were babies, "come to me." That's a word for every parent. And everyone who works with children. We have different ways of impacting children's lives. Parents have a huge amount. In other situations, there can be more limited amounts. But say if you're a school teacher or something else, or have contact with children just in the neighborhood in some way, you have the potential either to be a hindrance or to be a help for them getting to know Jesus. Do not hinder them, he says. Makes us wonder, is there anything I'm doing that would hinder children coming to Jesus? And then he gives his explanation. The kingdom of God, by which he means the reign of God, in which God as king is going to come in and put everything right, putting people right with him, putting the world right with itself, making a whole new creation with Jesus at the center. It's a wonderful compressed picture of a whole new world that would eventually come about. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, in the UK, you don't become a citizen with voting rights till you're 18. I don't know whether children are described as citizens, but in the kingdom of God, they can be citizens. It belongs to such as these. And I draw from this that children can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's never too early to start introducing them to him. We do that in age-appropriate ways. If we start using long words like propitiation with an 18-month-old, it's unlikely to mean anything. And even if they can parrot it when they're three, they don't understand what that long word means in and of itself. But to be introduced to the love of Jesus Christ, to a dependence on Jesus Christ, is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And it happens as children are brought to church and in a church environment, experience the love of Christ through the activities and the members and the different things in the church. It happens through parents as well. So much of the love of God is communicated through the love of Christian parents. And Christian parents, you're all imperfect. I'm a highly imperfect parent. My children could give you long, long lists of my imperfections. But in spite of all of that, children can sense and feel the love of God through their parents. In the Bible, children are expected to love God. Children can be called to serve God. Samuel, perhaps an exception, when he was three. Children are ordained by God to praise him. Psalm 8, out of the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And it's a wonderful thing when the children join in, and sometimes we have children's songs, and the children's songs are not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, especially when it comes to doing actions. I always dread being up here when there are actions, because I never know quite what I'm doing, and I look over there and they don't know either. So anyway, I try to avoid that. But it is something which God himself has ordained, that children should be praising him. Children can please God. Colossians 3:20 talks about children obeying their parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And above all, perhaps, children at different age-appropriate capacities can know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him. This is the reality he's pointing to. And this means that our church life needs to have an ethos and a structure and an investment of resources and just an overall commitment to the children God has given us. That's why when we do a dedication, we have that third bit. We tweak the language slightly because the old one made it feel as though everyone was signing up to pray regularly for every single child. And we thought that was quite a big thing to ask, though it is great to pray for the children. But instead, we use it as a way of reaffirming our commitment to this ministry. And I must say, it's been a total delight. One of the things one can look back on over a couple of decades, to see the way that God has grown this aspect of our church life. And it's a delight for me to just to reflect back to you how wonderful I think you are. You serve in children's ministry, so many of you, so faithfully, you give of yourselves in that area. You're happy for much of the giving that comes to the church to be spent on workers, to work with children and with young people. And I do think that in the church, there is a wonderful sense and an ethos of people looking out for other people's children, trying to get to know them and to love them and to care for them. And that goes right through the generations. Even some of the more elderly of you, again, are invested in other people's children. I think that is fantastic. Let me encourage you to keep going at that. And perhaps to ask yourselves, how is it that I can be more of a help to the children in my life and not less? There may be something you've missed. When I worked in a church in Nottingham, I used to stand on the door sometimes, as I do here most weeks. In fact, I was on the door many weeks, just saying goodbye to people. And one week, a church family came up to me and said, could we just have a word? And I said, yeah, that would be fine. They were the Leary family. And they said, well, when we got back from church last week and we were having our lunch, Thomas, and I think Thomas was about 3 or 4 at that point, we called him Tom. Tom said, I'm a bit worried about Julian. And his mum and dad, John and Ruth, said, why are you worried about Julian? He said, well, every week as I go out of church, I say hello to him, but he doesn't say anything. I think he must be a very shy person. And the problem was that dear Thomas had been going high at this level and saying goodbye to my kneecaps, and I'd been shaking hands with his parents. Anyway, so I tried to learn my lesson and learn the importance, actually, for me, of just reaching down, bending over, and trying. I don't manage it every week with all of your children, but trying to welcome the children or say goodbye to the children and hear about what they've been doing. Now, that was just something for me at one point in time, and it was helpful that he shared that. Incidentally, he turned up a few years ago, age 25, and I said, he said to me, hello, I don't know if you remember me, I'm Thomas Leary, we met in Nottingham all those years ago. And I said, Thomas Leary, you changed my ministry. So, a lesson for us about children. And then a lesson for us from children. And it's a lesson about how we can have a relationship with Jesus. And at this point, if you are not yet a Christian, this is something of direct interest to you. How can you have a share in this wonderful new world, this kingdom, this perfect kingdom that Jesus has come to create, in which all your sins can be wiped out, in which all of your hopelessness can be changed to the most glorious hope? This picture that there is in the Bible of a time when Jesus will return and when everything will be put right. How do you get into that? Sometimes we have the shorthand of heaven for it, but it's better to call it the kingdom of heaven come down to earth, heaven and earth merging. How do we get into that and not end up in a terrible place called hell where we'll pay the price for our sins? Well, we get the lesson from children, verse 17. Truly, I tell you, this is emphatic, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. There is something about children that illustrates something utterly central. And notice the absolute nature of the language. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The only way to get into God's new creation is this. It's not one way among many. It's not that children are a kind of useful visual aid in one respect of how to get in, but there are plenty of other ways as well. Every single adult person needs to hear from children or see in children the only way in which we can access the kingdom of God. Now, what it is has been much debated. But it seems to me we need to think of part of what Tom was saying in his talk. Centrally, as we understand this, that children trust and rely on their parents with a childlikeness, a childlike trust that adults almost invariably lose. And that's right in terms of the development of our personalities and the development we have towards adulthood. It's right that as parents we allow our children to become more independent. Who would want an adult of 40 or 50 dependent on their parents in exactly the same way they were when they were three? It would be a nonsense. It's not what human development is about. But in terms of getting to know Jesus, we need to be taken back to that place where we completely trust one other person, and that is him. Now, often people have all sorts of intellectual objections to becoming Christians, and they'll talk about a perceived conflict between science and religion. They'll talk about a perceived intolerance in religion. They'll talk about other religions. They have lots and lots and lots of different intellectual objections. And here at Eden, we take them enormously seriously. If you have one like that, we'd be delighted to talk it through with you. But in my experience, again and again and again, what lies behind those things is that deep down, people are refusing to stop trusting themselves and simply to trust Jesus. And to come to Jesus, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father and put all of the eggs of their life into his basket and nowhere else. And for every single person who does that, there are going to be some things which feel uncomfortable. And there's going to be a process of feeling, well, do I want to give up my independence in that way? Can I trust this person? And at the same time, there's another process going on by which they're starting to think, well, actually, perhaps I should doubt myself a bit more and Jesus a bit less, because I know what I'm like and I'm discovering what Jesus is like. And the more I discover about Jesus, the more absolutely reliable he seems. His coming to live as a man, though he was the Son of God. His dying in my place, taking all my punishment. His rising again from the dead. No one else has done that. And people are starting to think, well, actually, I think I can trust him. He is different. And why should I trust myself? I know that I'm broken and I'm fallible, and I get reminders of that all the time. And as people become Christians, this process is going on and it's leading them, in a sense, deeper and deeper back into childhood. But not into being childish, but to being childlike. And actually, there's something rather childish about the adult who won't trust God. Because none of us know how to run our own lives properly. None of us know how to live up to our own morals, let alone God's. None of us know how to ensure that we're in the right place when we die, rather than in the wrong place when we die. None of us can create a situation where we can be forgiven for all of our sins. We can't do those things. And it's childish to pretend that we can live without God. But it's childlike and natural to realize that we can trust him. And so if you're not yet a Christian, I don't know whether that is a shocking and perhaps surprising thing. You came just expecting a little ceremony welcoming children into the church, and you're actually being called and summoned to become like one of those little children. Ready to trust its parents, ready to rest in a father or mother's arms. Well, that is what God is saying to you. It is what God is inviting you to. There's been an emphasis in this service all the way through on drawing near to God, on coming to God, on hearing a voice of welcome and call. Jesus called the children to him, and he's calling you. And he's calling you to come to him and to trust him and stop trusting yourself and to move away from adult childishness into adult childlikeness as you put your life in his hands. And for those of us who are Christians already, there may be a reminder. And perhaps we're reverting to the wrong kind of adult childishness and trying to be too independent in a way that's not appropriate. I heard a story of a missionary pilot who was taking some supplies to a remote mission hospital. It could have been where we were in Madagascar early in the summer, but I think it wasn't. Anyway, he found that he didn't just have some supplies to take, but there was someone who had never travelled by air before who needed to be flown to this hospital. He was quite unwell and needed to be taken. And he had with him a bag containing all the different things that he had. And he got into the aeroplane, and the pilot took off. It was a little thing, so that he was sitting by the pilot. And just as they were taking off, the pilot noticed that the man had his bag on his knee. And he said to him, why have you got your bag on your knee? And he said, oh, well, I thought I'd hold it in case the plane wasn't strong enough to hold the bag as well. You know, the Lord Jesus, those of you who are Christians, he's strong enough for everything you've got. All of your sin, all of your fears, all of your weakness. And it may be you need this morning just to hear that again, to hear him calling you to come to him. And to stop trying to hold up some of those things for yourself. He's strong enough for it. He's bearing them anyway, but actually you're trying to deprive him of doing that. And this may be the lesson that the children God has graciously put in our lives and in our church family are teaching you. To put everything into his hands. Let's pray together. We do thank you, Lord, for the way that our church family is an all-age family, and we thank you for the growth of that over the years. We pray for the children you've entrusted to them and pray they may truly grow up into mature disciples. We pray that our lives and our church life may be well adjusted to them, to encouraging them and helping them. We may do nothing to hinder them. We pray also, Lord, that you'll help each of us to find our place in your kingdom. Not through our talents, not through our adultness and our sophistication, but through us becoming like little children. For your name's sake. Amen.